she became more corrupt in her lust than she. Now the younger sister saw this, saw what happened to her older sister. And rather than repent, it says she not only did as bad or as badly, she did worse. She became more corrupt, increased her harlotry. Let's read this. Now, although her sister Aholibah, verse 11, saw this, she became more corrupt in her lust than she, and in her harlotry more corrupt than her sister's harlotry. So Jerusalem did worse things than Samaria did. She lusted for the neighboring Assyrians, captains and rulers clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding on horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled. Both sisters took the same way. So she too, her heart was toward Assyria. But that wasn't all. Verse 14 says, but she increased her harlotry. She looked at men portrayed on the wall, images of Chaldeans portrayed in vermilion, and that's a bright red color, girded with belts around their waists, flowing turbans on their heads, all of them looking like captains, in the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea. So she lusted not only toward Assyria, but also toward Babylon. She increased her harlotry. That's the wrong one. Right there's the one I want. Okay, so she lusted toward Babylon as well. Verse 15, girded with belts around their waists, flowing turbans on their heads, all of them looking like captains in the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity. As soon as her eyes saw them, she lusted for them and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. So she made the connections, didn't she? Jerusalem did. Then the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and again the analogy of harlotry, and they defiled her with their immorality. So she was defiled by them and alienated herself from them. In time she pulled away. She revealed her harlotry and uncovered her nakedness. Then and this is the Lord speaking through Ezekiel, I alienated myself from her. So God withdrew from her, as I had alienated myself from her sister. Remember, they had both been his. Yet she multiplied her harlotry in calling to remembrance the days of her youth when she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. For she lusted for her paramours or lovers, whose flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. What she saw as attractive, God sees as a field, doesn't he? Yeah. Thus you called to remembrance the lewdness of your youth, when the Egyptians pressed your bosom because of your youthful breasts. So Israel has never gotten away from idol worship, never gotten away from its harlotry. Therefore, verse 22, Aholibah, thus says the Lord God. Now, this is the judgment that he's speaking to Jerusalem. Remember, he said to Samaria, you lusted after the Assyrians, and I'm going to deliver you into their hands. Now, let's see what he says to Jerusalem. Behold, I will stir up your lovers, plural, against you. Now remember, Assyria, having taken Samaria, would have also taken Jerusalem, except that God said that's not the way it's going to come down. Jerusalem will go to the Babylonians, who eventually took Assyria in anyway. The Babylonians suppressed Assyria, or Assyria became part of that kingdom. So he says, behold, I will stir up your lovers against you, for whom you have alienated yourself, and I will bring them against you from every side. The Babylonians, all the Chaldeans, Pekod, Shoah, Tekoa, all the Assyrians with them, all of them desirable young men, governors and rulers, captains and men of renown, all of them riding on horses. And they shall come against you, those who you were so attracted to, whom you were so attracted to. He said they're going to turn and come against you. With chariots, wagons, war horses, with a horde of people, they shall array against you buckler, shield, and helmet all around. With all their force, in other words, and with all of their skills as warriors. I will delegate judgment to them. And in other words, I'm going to give, you know what delegate means. I'm going to give them the authority to judge you. I'll delegate your judgment to them. And they shall judge you according to, not my judgments, but their judgments. I will set my jealousy against you, and they shall deal furiously with you. They shall remove your nose and your ears. So that which was beautiful in her youth will not be beautiful when she's taken, will she? And your remnant shall fall by the sword. In other words, total humiliation. They shall take your sons and your daughters, and your remnant shall be devoured by fire. They shall also strip you of your clothes and take away your beautiful jewelry till there's nothing beautiful left. Thus I will make you cease your lewdness and your harlotry. Brought from the land of Egypt, remember the source of the harlotry, the source of the idol worship, again, was Egypt. Think about the influence that that country had during the time that they were there. And God delivered them out of all of that, and they brought that with them in their hearts. Even having seen, I guess what I'm saying is, having seen the abomination of their worship of idols and the powerlessness of their gods that they trusted in to deliver them from Almighty God, still they brought them out in their heart. Powerless God in the face of Almighty God. So that you will not lift up your eyes to them nor remember Egypt anymore. God said, I want it out of you, and I'm going to get it out of you. If you won't do it on your own, then I'll make sure that you remember me and not Egypt anymore. For thus says the Lord God, verse 28, surely I will deliver you into the hand of those you hate, into the hand of those from whom you alienated yourself. They will deal hatefully with you, take away all you have worked for, and leave you naked and bare. The nakedness of your harlotry shall be uncovered, both your lewdness and your harlotry. I will do these things to you because you have gone as a harlot after the Gentiles, because you have become defiled by their idols. You have walked in the way of your sister, Samaria. Therefore, I will put her cup in your hand. So both cities will have a cup, the same cup. And he goes on to tell us about that cup. He says, you wanted what she had. You wanted her ways. You chose her path. You're going to drink her cup. I'll put her cup in your hand. Thus says the Lord God, you shall drink of your sister's cup, the deep and wide one. You shall be laughed to scorn and held in derision. It contains much. You will be filled, but not the way you wanted to be filled. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of horror and desolation is the cup that the cities will drink from. The cup of your sister Samaria, you're going to drink the same judgment that she drank. You shall drink and drain it. You shall break its shards and tear at your own breasts. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry. The Lord also said to me, verse 36, Son of man, will you judge Ahola and Aholibah, Samaria and Jerusalem, the sisters? then declare to them their abominations. 4. They have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols, and even sacrificed their sons, whom they bore to me, passing them through the fire to devour them. Now, you remember that some of the practices that they participated in were even to the point of child sacrifice. Remember, the god Molech required that children be burned at his altar, and they practiced this. Moreover, they have, and think about that, that's the seed of Abraham on the altars of foreign gods.
It's more amazing that we think that that's horrible to do that.
And we abort children every day.
Well, and we also are giving our children up today because we won't teach them the Word of God. And we're literally, awfully, by not doing that, we're putting them in the fire. I'm not doing that. And I refuse to say we are.
Right. I know what you're saying. But parents who don't.
As a nation, people are sacrificing their children
to other gods,
which ultimately leads to
That's right.
Pretty sad.
That's exactly right. And I say, you know, it's so easy to stand here and read this and judge.
Yeah.
And yet, how much of it is applicable to us? I thank God again that we don't have to worry about I am against us. Not that he won't come against this nation, but I am, the great I am, is for us, and in his mercy we will make it. But it's only because of his mercy that we will. We'd be no different to incur this judgment than these people are, were it not for the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 38, moreover, they've done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbath. So in God's own set apart places, they worship idols. For after they had slain their children for their idols, on the same day, they came to my sanctuary to profane it. And indeed, thus they have done in the midst of my house. Furthermore, you sent for men to come from afar, to whom a messenger was sent, and there they came. You not only submitted to them, but you sent for them. And you washed yourself for them, painted your eyes, and adorned yourself with ornaments. You sat on a stately couch with a table prepared before it, on which you had set my incense and my oil, to attract these other lovers or to pay tribute to these idols. The sound of a carefree multitude was with her, and Sabaeans were brought from the wilderness with men of the common sort, who put bracelets on their wrists and beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said concerning her who had grown old in adulteries, will they commit harlotry with her now, and she with them? Yet they went into her, as men go into a woman who plays the harlot. Thus they went into Ahola and Aholibah, the lewd women, the two sisters, the two cities, the two capitals. But righteous men will judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women who shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is on their hands. For thus says the Lord God, bring up an assembly against them. Give them up to trouble and to plunder. The assembly shall stone them with stones and execute them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn their houses with fire. Thus I will cause lewdness to cease from the land, that all women may be taught not to practice your lewdness. They shall repay you for your lewdness, and you shall pay for your idolatrous sins. Then, and again, the ultimate purpose in it all, you will know, you shall know, that I am the Lord God. Chapter 24, is another parable against the city of Jerusalem, and it talks about a cooking pot or a boiling pot. And also in this chapter is the death of the prophet's wife, which is it's an interesting thing because God tells him that it's going to happen, and then he tells him how to behave during that time, which is not in a usual and acceptable and social and traditional way. But he says, I'm going to use it for a sign. And Ezekiel obeys him. So let's look into chapter 24. Again, starting with the parable of a boiling pot or a cooking pot. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month. So this one's dated very specifically, isn't it, as to when this came. The word of the Lord came to me, and this is Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, write down the name of the day, the very day. And he did, didn't he? The king of Babylon started his siege against Jerusalem this very day. And utter a parable to the rebellious house. Remember, a parable is a natural or an object lesson that has a spiritual meaning to it. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, put on a pot, set it on. In other words, put it on the fire, put it on to boil. And also pour water into it. Gather pieces of meat in it, every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder. Fill it with choice cuts. Take the choice of the flock. Also pile fuel bones under it. Make it boil well. And let the cuts simmer in it. Does that sound like a recipe you want to try? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, and this is what he says, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is in it. I looked up this word scum, and it really, one of the literal meaning of it is disease. And the bloody city that he's referring to is Jerusalem, and there's the pot. Okay? So this is what he's saying. Woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is in it, and whose scum is not gone from it. Bring it out piece by piece, on which no lot has fallen, for her blood is in her midst. She set it on top of a rock. She did not pour it on the ground to cover it with dust, that it may raise up fury and take vengeance. I have set her blood on top of a rock, that it may not be covered. Therefore, thus says the Lord, woe to the bloody city. I too will make a pyre great, and that's a fire. Heap on the wood and kindle the fire. Cook the meat well. Mix in the spices and let the cuts be burned up. Then set the pot empty on the coals, that it may become hot, and its bronze may burn, that its filthiness may be melted in it, that its scum may be consumed. She has grown weary with lies, and her great scum has not gone from her. Let her scum be in the fire. In your filthiness is lewdness, because I have cleansed you, and you were not cleansed. You will not be cleansed of your filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not hold back, nor will I spare, nor will I relent. According to your ways and according to your deeds, they will judge you, says the Lord. Now we begin the part about Ezekiel's wife. Also, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Now, who said he was going to do that?
God
did. You know, there's so many things that I cannot explain, and I won't even try, but I do know that we're told in Isaiah that God's thoughts are not like our thoughts, and his ways are not like our ways, and they sure aren't like ours, are they? but that as high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how much higher His thoughts are than our thoughts and His ways than our ways. So who are we to question and judge what He does? We're not. And I can't explain this to you, but He said, I take away from you, Ezekiel, the desire of your eyes. That's His wife. With one stroke. And God did it. Yet you shall neither... Now, this is what He tells him. This is, I said, this is unusual. And by the way, that Isaiah scripture is Isaiah 55, I think it's 8 and 9. I will take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke, yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. He said, I don't want you to have the normal response. I don't want you to weep. I don't want you to mourn. She's the desire of your eyes, I know, but don't grieve over it. Now that's a tough assignment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sigh in silence. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. Don't do the normal thing. Don't react naturally like a man would do. But don't grieve at all. Show no signs of grief. So, I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. Is he sold out?
Yes.
He heard a hard thing, but he did it anyway, didn't he? There's a lesson in that for us. We think some of the things we're asked to do are hard. And the people said to me, will you not tell us what these things signify to us? That you behave so? Then I answered them, the word of the Lord came to me saying, speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary. Your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul. So God says, I'm going to take the sanctuary, from the thing that you had such pride in, I'm going to take it away from you the same way that the wife was taken from her husband. And your sons and daughters whom you left behind shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips nor eat man's bread of sorrow.
I bet that got the attention, seriously, of those people if nothing else had at this point. Ezekiel spoke that, and then bang, I guarantee you they are thinking now.
And he goes on to say in verse 23, your turbans shall be on your heads and your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another. Thus Ezekiel is assigned to you, and that's what all of this was about. Now, can I explain that? No, I can't. I can tell you what he told Ezekiel was going to happen, that it happened. And the way he told Ezekiel to respond, Ezekiel did respond. He obeyed. And when that happened that way, then God said, Ezekiel's assigned to you. According to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, not if it comes, when it comes, you shall know that I'm the Lord God. When my sanctuary, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, is taken out of your midst, you'll know. Then you'll know that I'm God. And you, son of man, will it not be in the days when I take from them their stronghold, their joy, and their glory, the desire of their eyes? And that on which they set their minds, their sons and their daughters. On that day, one who escapes will come to you to let you hear it with your ears. On that day, your mouth will be open to him who has escaped. Let me see if I wrote a scripture reference down there. You shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus you will be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Remember, I'm going to go back and read something to you that we studied when we just started in this book. It was, part of the introduction. And it's in Ezekiel 3:24. This is what God tells him. Do you remember Pete saying how unusual this ministry was going to be, this service that he was going to engage in as a prophet? One of the things that he was told in Ezekiel 3:24 is this. I'm going to back up to 23. He says, "So I rose," this is telling how this call came upon him, "and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar. And I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered me, and set me on my feet, and spoke with me, and said to me, 'Go, shut yourself inside your house.'" Remember this? "And you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them, so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' He who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house." So God had told him, there will be times when you won't speak at all. But when I'm ready for them to hear what I have to say, I'm going to open your mouth. You won't be mute any longer. I will open your mouth, and I will put my word in your mouth to the nations. And that's exactly what he does. So verse 27 of chapter 24 ends this way. "On that day your mouth will be open to him who has escaped. You shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus you will be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord." All right, let's do chapter 25. And this is the chapter that we spoke of earlier when we were looking at the map that has prophecies to four different countries. Let me read the summary. Chapter 25 proclaims judgment against Ammon, or Ammon, Moab, Edom, and the Philistines. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them.'" So this is who he's going to be talking to first. And here's his message. "Say to the Ammonites, 'Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines," I'm sorry, I skipped over. Let me get back to my place. Let me just start over. Chapter 25. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because you said, aha, against my sanctuary when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into captivity.'" In other words, because of your response to what happened to them. "Indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east, and they shall set their encampments among you and make their dwellings among you. They shall eat your fruit, and they shall drink your milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and Ammon a resting place for flocks. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, because you clasped your hands, stamped your feet, and rejoiced in heart with all your disdain for the land of Israel," and that was their offense. "When Israel met with destruction, this nation rejoiced. Because you did that, indeed, therefore, I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will cut you off from the people, and I will cause you to perish from the countries. I will destroy you, and you will know, you shall know that I am the Lord." And the next verse begins a proclamation against Moab. "Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir say, 'Look, The house of Judah is like all nations. In other words, there's no distinction. It doesn't do them any good to serve their God. Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities, of the cities on its frontier, the glory of the country. Beth Jeshemoth, Baal Maon, and Ker Jetham. To the men of the east I will give it as a possession, together with the Ammonites, that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab. And again, they will know, they shall know, that I am the Lord. And then a proclamation against Edom. Thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did, now remember Edom, the Ammonites and the Moabites were descendants of Lot. The Edomites are descendants of Esau. Thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and has greatly offended by avenging itself on them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate, from Timon, Dedan, shall fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance. They'll know my vengeance in exchange for their vengeance, in other words, says the Lord God. And then a proclamation against Philistia. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart, to destroy because of the old hatred. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites, which is part of Philistia, and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. Now, even though it's not quite time, I'm going to stop here because the next three chapters really all go together against the city of Tyre, against the prince of Tyre, and against the king of Tyre. And we'll just go ahead and talk about that a little bit. There appear to be three different levels of communication here in these prophecies against Tyre. Tyre is a seaport. And a main seaport and a very prosperous city. And the prince of Tyre, prince literally means commander, is talked about as a man who thinks he's a god, but God says he's not a god, he's a man. And when he comes up against me, he's going to know that he's not a god. And then there's the king of Tyre, who appears to be a spirit being, because it says he's created. He was created in the day he was created, not born. So there are three levels there that are dealt with in the next three chapters, and that all needs to go together. So we'll hold off on that until Tuesday night. And Pete will be back, I guess, sometime late tonight or tomorrow. And he can start there with chapter 26.
Jesus refers to, we think this is bad right here with all they're doing, but Jesus told the people that if Tyre and Sidon had seen what these people saw, that they would have repented and he wouldn't have destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
So it got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty bad right here.
Yeah, it is pretty bad right here. That's good. David?